When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
It wasn't that easy.
Turned out it was.
Yeah.
We've got them on the run, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. The bastards are backtracking and the revolt is underway. It's Wednesday, 21st of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Vidushina Hantharaja.
Well, I hope you're happy with yourselves. I've got to go to JP Morgan to talk to Dave tomorrow, and he's going to cry, and that's going to make squash on Friday very difficult. Very difficult indeed, Fish and Marcus.
Do you know the Nespresso machines that are being smashed right now?
I cannot imagine it. I cannot imagine
the state of the executive toilets.
I hope Mr. Morgan...
Shit's made all over the walls. They're having breakdowns left, right, in the centre.
I hope Mr. Morgan is doing okay.
Charlie.
To quote Pete Donaldson yesterday before it all unravels, just let them get on with it.
Just let them get on with it.
Okay.
Again, get on with it.
Maybe the tone wasn't accurate, but
let
that's what you said.
Let them get on with it.
They had a dream, yeah.
Is it any coincidence, though, before it really, really started to unravel, that a very important and powerful person said, I can absolutely not see it. I strongly say no, don't do it. That will take away the dream of football. Don't take away that dream for everyone who loves football. And after Sven said that,
That sounded like the lyrics from a Euro 96 England song that we never heard.
Oh, dearie me.
Because he hates a buck, doesn't he?
Well, indeed. But I mean, my goodness, gentlemen, it's been an extraordinary, what is it, sort of 48 or 72 hours in the world of football.
I'll restart my impression. Hello, this is John W. Henry.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry to Jürgen. I want to say sorry to Jürgen.
Yeah, it looks
Jürgen.
Looks like I'll be walking alone. My goodness, Vish. Sum it all up for us in a sentence or two.
Some really rich people proved once again that making a lot of money doesn't necessarily require intelligence.
That's right.
Or the capacity to be organised.
Yes, it's funny you say
And it makes me wonder why I'm not rich, to be honest.
I was going to say, because I do all that.
You have to be that. If you're that chaotic and stupid and you get to be billionaires, you say, why are more of us not doing that? I don't know. Jonathan Northcroft, the journalist, tweeted, Martin Yol always said, nothing in football is what it seems. What he meant was that behind the glitz and all the glamour, the game was a lot more amateurish than you could imagine. What a clown show this 4.2 billion Super League of the world's greatest clubs has turned out to be.
To be fair.
And I think that's a good point.
Newcastle Premier Mike Ashley has said that before. He said he's worked in some pretty like weird little kind of organisations and worked with some absolute cowboys, but it's nothing compared to what he experienced inside football.
It's
a joke in there.
The bluff has been called, but my goodness, this is just... I mean, it is so pathetic, really, isn't it, when you look at it?
Yeah, it is. I think that's absolutely right in terms of, well, I mean, it's right in the sense that the football industry at the upper echelons is an absolute mess. Mm. And I think what we should take away from that is that we need to clean it up. As much as Tuesday night was a victory, I feel like it's one of those ones where you celebrate for one night and we start up again in the morning.
Oh, it's not over.
Because there's a reason that Cowboys thrive mm-hmm. in that area and get away with it. Because I think fundamentally, while this is brilliant, I am worried that they're all going to get away with it because we saw how powerful the fan protests were yesterday and the fact that the government got involved. And, you know, that's all great for showing off, you know, or rather, you know, seeing off this threat. But... I mean, the game is broken. That's what we've seen over the last 48 hours.
Well, and it's who takes advantage of that.
Yeah, exactly. And while those six clubs will be reeling, you know, let's not be fools here. There are plenty more and many more within those organisations who are still plotting.
Yeah, we don't suddenly go back to UEFA, Peter, do we? And say, oh, thank goodness we've been into your arms. As somebody wrote, was it maybe Miguel Delaney or Martin Samuel said, your the enemy of your enemy is not necessarily your friend.
No party in this, and I even include myself in this, are not problematic.
Amazing, you've managed to damn yourself in this.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. With less than fair press. I do get the sinking feeling that we had one public veto on something and we've wasted it on this aspect of football. We could have done so much good with this political. We could have, you know, I mean, a lot of these footballers who are complaining that their working conditions haven't been taken into consideration will be going on to play at a World Cup in stadiums that have been built over the bodies of dead people. So it's I do feel like, yes, this is an important victory, but I think I made myself very clear yesterday. I could have given less of a shit whether this went ahead or not. Do it, don't do it, I don't care.
Be careful, because you're desperately trying to put yourself on the wrong side of history. And I have to talk you down from that. No, but you say that about the fans, but could this be an awakening, though? For fans, certainly in this country. I understand with the Qatar business, I think that ship sailed, sadly. But I think the fans have thought to themselves, no bollocks, there has to be a line drawn in the sand somewhere. And actually, when people do get a bit of taste of the biscuit and so on, and we see that the German clubs said no to this when they could have said yes, do fans sort of think, hang on a minute, maybe we do have more of a say, maybe we do have a bit more power. You don't want to go power mad, of course, but you know, because we've often said on this podcast with regards to ticket prices, with regards to other things, don't turn up to football. Now, I understand people have paid for their season tickets and so on, but it's a bit of a downturn in the short term for hopefully a long term, because if again, we said this seasons ago, if teams are turning out in front of empty stadiums, clubs may think, oh, actually, hang on a minute, they might have to sit up and take note. So they have taken note this time. Is this a chance for fans to go, hang on a minute, we've got more of a say here and let's drill down into this?
You know what? I think that, but only after last night. Like, it was interesting. After Monday's show, my partner came back home and she was like, I enjoyed that, but I resented the way you seemed resigned to it. And I explained to her that I was like, well, I suppose you look at, you know, what governments have done in this country and you look at just generally how football has operated. All the way back, you know, to the advent of the Premier League, I said to her, like, I just don't know how much we as fans, as football people, can do.
But isn't that the problem, though, that people think that?
Well, exactly. And I did think that, and I was resigned to it on Monday, and then I saw what happened yesterday, and I thought, well, actually, Maybe. And I don't just mean the images outside of Stamford Bridge last night. I mean the way that, you know, the Arsenal Supporters Trust have got involved and got actively involved in lobbying government as well. And yeah, I honestly kind of didn't see it coming because I didn't think there was necessarily the appetite to like get out there and disrupt. I think when you see a lot of fundamental issues across the world, the best way to go against them is to fight, as unsavory as that may be. And that fight comes in many different forms, of course. But yesterday, Chelsea fans went out and fought for something they believed in. 18 to 24-year-old Chelsea fans, judging by some of the photos.
As has Leeds fans, and we think a few Liverpool fans.
They did sort of say in the, I think the Athletic piece said, the peaceful protest became a party in an instant as news quickly filtered through the crowd of Chelsea's decision to withdraw. Fuck Super League and we've saved football quickly gave way to the more traditional songs in the Stamford Bridge repertoire. A chilling statement. An absolutely chilling statement. Good Lord.
But then I think like what the lesson to take from it as football fans, and I think maybe the problem over here is that we're largely ambivalent as football fans, unless we're wrong.
But that's
as
what I mean.
As a club outright.
Yes.
And I suppose like what we've seen so far in the last 48 hours is that there have been high-level resignations because of this. Sponsors are ending their relationship with clubs or seriously considering them at least. Mm-hmm. And I suppose you'd also, you know, fundamentally as football fans, we love it when a referee slips up. We're fucking loving the fact that these people who thought they owned the game have catastrophically fucked up. Mm-hmm. But... you know, there is power there, and I think with all the fucking statements that basically said, sorry about that, we'll probably do it again.
Yep.
But maybe you understand why we want to do it.
Maybe we'll talk to the players this time, which seemed to be, you know, a lot of this is maybe that a few DMs to players has worked this time when in the past it may have been abused and players weren't consulted and they are upset about not being consulted about their own working practices. And I make it clear that perhaps this will raise the players into having some kind of social conscience on stuff outside of football, which I think would be great. But I think, I think fundamentally, as always, sponsors probably got cold feet, and there was a feeling in the air that that it might not be the commercial success that it is because they kicked up such a stink, and obviously the supporters groups as well of massive not just the clubs outside of the six, but the ones that are actually involved in it and who find it very, very distasteful. Like, massive fan base, massive vocal online fan bases.
What if these people are going to treat fans like
in between
like
playing
customers?
Call of Duty, obviously.
Of course, yeah. If these people are going to treat fans like customers, which is, you know, regrettable, but obviously there is some sort of service and transaction involved, so let's not be sort of too naive. Well, actually, what do the customers of other elsewhere in society, you know, when they're buying certain things or brands and whatnot, brands and other companies don't want a bad reputation, and we see this with various campaigns, whether it be Black Lives Matter, whether it be on Pride and so on. Do brands really care about those issues? You'd like to think they would.
They certainly lead in most spheres. I used to live in Old Compton Street, obviously the gay street next to Chinatown in central London, and even the 5 or 6 years that I was there, how much everything's changed. The Nando sign has always got the rainbow flag, things like that.
But why did they change? Because probably of what customers were demanding and all that
demand
kind of stuff.
Demand, and also, you know, maybe a lot of their marketing companies are based in progressive areas. I think that's probably got a lot to do with it.
There's a number of reasons.
And they're middle-class consumers themselves, the marketers, and they think it's the right thing to do. And it's always led by commercial pressure. It's never led...
Yeah.
It's rarely led by the conscience of someone in the boardroom. That's just the way it is.
Exactly. That's the point I'm saying. Spot on. So... treat football clubs the same until we can get real ground, if that is the way, you know, we're hoping. I mean, Gary Neville was saying about, you know, look at the model in Germany. I mean, that is a long way away, I think. But if you can campaign and show clubs what you're thinking with these owners, then let them know, because I think there is more power with the fans. And like I say, I think once you get a taste of that biscuit, you think, hang on, we don't have to put up with all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's just a veto on a very unpalatable, stupid idea.
Yeah.
It's one veto. It's one small... You're not going to change ownerships. These people have bought clubs.
Like,
you know,
I say, that's a far away. So that kind of...
their name's above the door.
Yeah, of course, that's why that kind of idea of, let's aim for that. That is a while away.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is good when someone like Daniel Levy says, you know, we should thank We should like to thank all the supporters who presented their considered opinions.
Again,
in
like,
watertight jiffy bags.
Yeah, again, don't let them get away with that.
Yeah.
Because they, if they really gave a shit, they would have considered the fans before then.
Of course.
And so, like, I feel like I should say this as a Manchester United fan. Mm-hmm. The way they have acted over the last, what, be a week now, mm-hmm. considering when they started pushing this through, has been despicable.
Yeah.
And let's not forget that Manchester United, along with Liverpool, were the architects behind Project Big Picture. Mm-hmm. They were then two of the three architects really pushing this through at the end of last week with Real Madrid. And this kind of thing shouldn't be forgotten by what people might perceive to be a sincere apology, you know, mm-hmm. on a Twitter video wearing a gilet. Like, there was absolutely no consideration for the fans here. People who, you know, match-going fans of Manchester United who've been through it under the Glazers know that there's no consideration for the fans there. Mm-hmm. Any talk they have over improving Manchester United mm-hmm. has not been met with anything beyond, you know, leveraging with debt, with the promise of transfer signings, because Old Trafford is basically a relic now.
Yeah,
it is
yeah.
drastically in need of improvement.
Yep.
There are so many, many issues within the club that are just not being fixed. So don't forget that the same people who are apologising to you are the mm-hmm. same people who
exactly.
couldn't give a shit about you last week.
Yeah, so let's not...
We've seen their true colours, and
exactly.
this isn't it. What we're seeing in the last 12 hours, in the coming 24 hours, is not the mm-hmm. real them. We've already seen the real them.
But do you think, though, that the situation needed to have this, you could say? You know, maybe we'll look back in years to come and say, well, that didn't make the blindest bit of difference. Or, to put a more sort of hopeful spin on it, Pete, is that you look back and you think, actually, that was the tipping point. That was when everyone went, no, this is bollocks. And then you start to pull back the layers and you go, yeah, we really, really need to sort this out. Because the Premier League, as we know, you know, the genesis of the actual Premier League itself, da-di-da-di-da. What we need is to campaign the league itself and say, no, like when the Glazers turn up or when these people turn up or whatever, you need to have... The fit and proper persons test is a load of bollocks.
I mean, you're right to ask the most pessimistic person in the room.
Yeah, but I'm trying to get you on board, Peter.
No, I don't think. I think it all comes down to pressurising sponsors. I just think that's the only language anyone understands mm-hmm. these days. Stop buying Nissin hot yeah. noodles.
I'm also a little bit. I mean, I'm slightly reticent to give the other 14 clubs
yeah.
their dues for standing up, because knowing what we know of how football in general operates, you know, this mm-hmm. isn't just a 12 or 15 club problem across Europe. This yeah. is a problem across the entire game. If any one of them were asked, they'd have
done. Of course they would have done. And Everton are the most annoyed because they're the most close to actually being like there through a meritocracy, mm-hmm. I suppose.
And like you know, and it's no reflection on Everton fans, merely the owners. But you mm-hmm. know, Everton were one of the founding members of the Premier League, weren't they? Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I mean, it's an amazing turn of events. And it's funny you mentioned the players earlier. You know, Jordan Henderson came out unequivocally and said, no, we're against this. The players are against this.
How fucking mad is that, by the way? Mm. That they're in charge of these clubs who mm. spend so much money, who get mm-hmm. in so much money. Who do they pay the most?
Yeah.
The players. Who do they need to get on side the yeah. most? The players.
Well, yeah. again,
why wouldn't they talk to them?
But that goes back to the earlier point of how amateurish it is.
Yeah.
How it is, oh, we'll probably just do that and it's fine, because they think they're just running a company. Where the CEO or the head or whatever the company just goes this, right, well, we're now working 8 till 6. We're not working 9 mm. to 5 anymore. And everyone's, oh, that's right. But they have to go along with it. Otherwise, we'll sod off then. That's what they think.
But I sort of think this has given the Champions League a pretty big pass as well.
Well, we forget
that. Like you said, yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm not on board with any of those changes. I think that
the changes
competition is bloated and ridiculous yeah. and stupid. Mm-hmm. Just as stupid as anything that's been offered in these plans. Yeah. Let's make that very, very clear. Mm-hmm. Better logo, though.
Yeah, true enough. But that's the thing, isn't it? The Champions League, the reforms that they made, which are dreadful, make no mistake about that, were to try and appease these big clubs. Please don't do a Super League. Please don't do a Super League. And really, you could argue that this pressure from the fans has kind of bailed out UEFA. Might be a bit too strong, but it certainly helped.
Quick to welcome them back, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, that's what he said, old Seferin. He said, you know, you can turn around from this, which was a different tone, wasn't it, from Monday of, you do that and we'll chop your heads off, to on Tuesday, was, oh, we'll come back, we will forgive you.
Mm.
Very different tone.
Tim Stillman on Twitter, @Stilberto, made a brilliant point as this mm-hmm. was all falling apart yesterday. and said basically we're seeing the boiling frog theory in action here, whereby you can't a frog will immediately jump out of a pot of boiling water.
Yeah.
But if you put a frog in lukewarm water and slowly heat it up, it won't know that it's being killed, basically. And that is essentially, I think, what we're in danger of having here if we don't take further action. Because people will see this as a win outright when really they'll just find other ways of getting to the point where they wanted to get to in a rush.
Yeah, when you think about what Andrea Agnelli said, who's obviously been a huge part of this, the chap at Juventus, there is a blood pact between the clubs. We are going forward. This project has a 100% possibility of success. He said that this morning. No, he didn't say that this morning. He said...
not far off.
But it was only, yesterday or something he said that. That's the kind of language he was using, and now he's had to obviously eat humble pie, a big old slice of humble pie.
Is Ja Rule involved? This is like fire festival levels of organisation.
Oh, it is.
Isn't it?
It is.
Just a load of like UNESCO, not UNESCO, they do World Heritage Sites. What is it? UN tents and Petr Cech in the middle of it just trying to calm everyone.
Let's talk about that. That was sensational.
Oh, it was good, wasn't it?
Amazing
scenes. Because he's a keeper, he's quite tall, quite rangy. Uh-huh. He looked quite magnificent. It had proper Keggy on the steps of St. James's Park after Andy Cole had been sold, rolled up sleeves.
He's going to have to trust
remonstrating with the fans. You're going to have to trust me on this one.
Could you have seen Abramovich when he announced the Super League? You're just going to trust me on this one. Okay, we can't get relegated from it.
The fact that he was a goalkeeper and just looks bigger than everyone else really was quite profound. He could do like the frog jump, couldn't he, and cover more ground.
Yeah, exactly.
And reassure more people.
Although, would he have known
doing the frog jump? Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah. That's a good point. The jumping Czech theory.
Yeah, I mean, it was extraordinary, the scenes outside of Stamford Bridge, and well done to those Chelsea fans for doing that. I did quite like one banner.
And we don't say that very often, do we?
Well, credit where credit's due. You know,
the thing they did on the tube was terrible afterwards.
We want our cold Wednesday night in Stoke or something, as one placard said. But you know, enormous pressure that was put on there, and I mean, it is very, very funny, of course, to see all this unfold. But as the takeaway, I think, at the moment is, let's not all sit back and go, "Yay, that's that war won." No, that's a battle, which has surprisingly been won very quickly, and again, should give impetus that perhaps those at the top of the game don't really know what they're doing, or they're not as organised or as terrifying as perhaps we thought. But what did you think of the apologies, Vish? Arsenal came out and apologised in a way. Liverpool were a little bit more. John Henry was certainly more direct, I suppose, if you like, with his apology. What did you think of that?
I mean, just bollocks, wasn't it? But like, you know, within all the apologies were talk of, you know, we want to take the club forward, we want to do things better.
Do you think it was
improve.
A bit of, we're sorry that you're upset?
Yeah, no, it was, sorry, apologies if anyone
sorry
was offended
I've got to
by
do this. Yeah.
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 And it was a bit like, I don't know, like people grow out of that stage where they think they can change someone, usually in their teens, where they think they can, you know, they'll accept apology after apology after apology after being wronged. And I think this is the thing about this particular iteration of this threat, that it seems so real, and that and the fact that they seemed so like sure that they'd get away with it.
We get this every season at Newcastle. Mike Ashley, he never speaks in public, but when Newcastle flirt with relegation, and we'll probably get another one at the end of this season, he comes out and sort of goes, "I'm really sorry about, you know, I will do better. I'm not a rich man. I've got all this stuff and pleads absolute poverty." So, you know, it's just all mealy mouth bollocks. It's just nonsense.
A load of bollocks, ladies and gentlemen. A load of bollocks. But we're certainly enjoying this moment. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Years never complained about the referees and the action, but this action is really incredible.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for your emails, and it's Toby Elliott on the jingle.
If you got a new nickname for Pete, or you're a big fan of Vish, if you want Jules to swear at you, or you think Jim's a dish, if you like Kate's pop culture references, or got a Sven story for Speller, if you disagree with Luke, or think that Andy's far too clever, email show at footballramble.com. Go ahead and email show at footballramble.com.
What a little John Legend.
From Dale, evening gents. Since the news broke about the ESL, I've heard 30 hours of football media members complaining about how it is bad for fans, but none of you has made a case about why it is bad. If you're also mad, maybe explain why. Point number two is that it is still 800 years before an English person is allowed to be indignant about anything seriously. And the third point is that you all sound like people at the end of the Dark Ages complaining that the church is losing its absolute power. That is how the Renaissance started. You have completely missed the mark. And just so you dum-dums understand, if all those teams aren't in the Champions League, it would actually be easier for teams such as Ajax to win it. But instead of recognising that fact, you complain that Ajax will be locked out of winning the ESL. At least try and use your brains. Apologies will be accepted once you understand and acknowledge your mistakes.
Sorry for that, Dan.
Sorry about that. It's changed my mind completely.
It's not the rantings of a madman. Was that sent in an excrement, was it?
Still one of the watertight jiffy bags.
Yeah. 800
Thanks.
Years.
Thanks, Dale.
800 years.
I said that I thought that was a joke, and then the 800 years thing makes me think it's actually been... Truthful, he actually believes that.
We had a quick Google. 800 years ago, Genghis Khan was doing his best work.
Well, look, he had got as far as
he'd love the Super League, wouldn't he?
He was the Super League.
Yeah, he was a Super League unto himself. All That's what they say about him.
There was no amount of fan protesting that could deter that man.
Good Lord.
Show at footballramble.com. Mm-hmm. Everybody, to send your nonsense. Right, gentlemen. We didn't mention the first half. We'll mention it now, that Ed Woodward is going to be walking away from Manchester United. Vish, is that a victory? Or are you going to miss him?
I suppose in some ways I'll miss him, because it got to a stage where, you know, you could, when something happens in the world and it throws you off kilter, even something in your personal life, you can attribute to being brought down by that particular event. So... Yeah. Beyond transfers, I'd like to blame Ed Woodward for making me put on weight over the pandemic.
Yeah.
I feel like he's quite responsible for that. Mm-hmm. Hay fever, probably him.
That's hit me quite hard this year, to be honest.
Did you see that Harry Maguire confronted him, apparently, at a meeting over the players, not knowing anything about the plan.
I was going to say, like, I tweeted yesterday that there's nothing that Harry Maguire couldn't head away, but then I thought, why didn't Ed Woodward just, like, back up a bit and just run around his blind side? He wouldn't have been picked up.
Ed Woodward was like, it's a statue from the atrium has just ran in.
I've not seen anything like this in 800 years.
I tell you what, though, it is interesting that Manchester United, I mean, what do the, you know, the Glazers much scrutinised, of course. You compare them to Manchester City, who were one. I think were they the first to pull out of?
Well,
so
Chelsea and Man City were the last to get on board. Ironically, the two with the most money out of all of them.
But that's the point, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some people said that they actually don't need the money.
Yeah.
Whereas if you look at the finances of Real Madrid in particular and Barcelona, they obviously need the money. Agnelli's had enough of Serie A and has been the Agnelli family dynasty. You know, have been probably saying this for years.
He's not officially resigned yet because there were conflicting reports.
No. He's not going to.
You can't resign from your own family, can you?
No, exactly. I think people misunderstand the situation at Juventus. Right. They've very much got that locked in.
The way it was framed, though, there was an element of like, oh, right, we'll get Man City and Chelsea involved. Yeah, we'll have a meeting. Yeah, fine. Like, maybe they can pick up the tab as well. Mm. Just like, we'll get the next round.
Well, but that's what they want. They want the money. Yeah. They want a piece of the Premier League pie. And obviously they say to the Premier League, we'll come in. I'm not saying, oh, poor innocent Premier League here, by the way, or these teams. But it's like, we'll come in. We've all got the money.
Philanthropic Sheikh Mansour.
Exactly, yeah. But a lot of the articles saying that they have a huge desire to be liked.
Right.
The Manchester City owners, a huge desire because, you know, it is, one could argue,
it's a different kind of project, isn't it?
It is very different. And it's a big old PR exercise.
Well, teams like Chelsea, teams like Manchester City, they were the ones that kind of like, they were asked, you know, they were last in the door and first out pretty much. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. They don't need, they're not expecting a return on their investment to that degree. Mm-hmm. But obviously clubs like Liverpool and Manchester United very much do. And get frequently.
Yes, and you're going for sure.
So I was saying on the apologies on the Woodward thing specifically. Yeah, obviously it's a huge thing for Manchester and more specifically Manchester United fans because he has been the biggest ally of the Glazers within Manchester, I suppose, within Old Trafford. You know, don't really see anything from Joel Glazer beyond that astonishing quote on the first ESL statement. But there's certainly a feeling now that with if Woodward's going to go, given that he helped facilitate the takeover of Manchester United while he was at JP Morgan, and one of his first roles at Manchester United was essentially to assist the Glazer family. I can't remember what the actual title was, but he was essentially there. He was a glorified butler in many ways and has worked his way, you know, all the way up through the chain to Manchester United to be in the position that he was, I suppose, able to resign from. So, yeah, I mean, it's fundamentally a good thing. And I think a lot of people were saying yesterday that it essentially could be the start of the Glazers selling up, really. Because I did wonder, actually, with Kroenke at Arsenal, with Henry at Liverpool, and with the Glazers at Manchester United, this has been the end game in many ways. This is where they saw the return on that investment. And I wonder if this has properly been torpedoed, certainly in the next 5 years in its current guise as the European Super League, then I wonder if they might think, well, fuck it and fuck all of you because we wanted money. You're not going to give us it, so we'll sell up.
Yeah,
which case...
Enjoy your debt, guys.
Yeah. Glory to God, yeah.
But the end game is really to turn it into that sort of NFL franchise kind of thing, you know, and they forget it is a football club.
Yeah, but the thing about the NFL franchise is that, like, people see return on their money one way or another, whether it's by moving it out or, you know, bear in mind, like, one of the, I'm probably going to get this some of the details in this wrong, but, you know, aside from the Green Bay Packers, all the fancy stadiums that you see at all these NFL franchises are, you know, kind of funded by the cities they're in and the states they're in, not by the franchises themselves. Mm. So there's so much that they get away with over there that they thought they could get away with here.
Yeah.
And the Glazers in buying Manchester United, you know, someone once told me this, like an economist once told me this a while ago, and it does make sense, but like Manchester United created a brand whereby they're similar to McDonald's and Coca-Cola, they can never really go bust.
Yeah.
And they saw that and thought, well, brilliant. Mm. It's a perfect way to make money. If we can't, you know, become insolvent, we can do whatever we want.
I think it was last year they took a £23-24 million dividend. I mean, like that's good eating, isn't it? It's good eating. Debt's up. I think they're back in profit this year after the pandemic. So look, Woodward's left the club in a pretty decent state, you would argue.
I mean, I thought it was interesting that when everybody was saying
he's done a great job.
If Jurgen Klopp resigned, you know, what was that quote someone said? Oh, there was an article last, I forget where it was, and they said in before it really unraveled, they were like, well, Jurgen Klopp, he's missed his chance to be Winston Churchill here. Because if he'd have resigned, you know, it was just like, yes, brilliant. So there was a lot of chat of what's Jurgen Klopp going to say and do. Mm. Guardiola came out and said what he said.
I want to say sorry to Jurgen.
Yeah, and all this. Nobody was putting any pressure on Solskjaer to come out and say
anything. Well, I think
he looks like a little boy, yeah, though, doesn't he? He's, yeah, outstanding.
Yeah. Is your dad here? Can you speak to your dad?
What he should have said was, he should have said that ESL is just, it's just all about ego winning the ESL, shouldn't he? That was where the quote should have been. He thought, used that up.
I think he got away with the fact that he did press before the game on Sunday, didn't he? So there was an element of like, he could,
mm-hmm,
you know, he might have been ignorant, but he could certainly like put that across. And Sir Alex Ferguson came out on Sunday evening and vocalised his, mm-hmm, disappointment. I suppose, yeah, there's Solskjaer's dad, yeah.
I very much enjoyed Pep sort of saying, he very carefully sort of worded it. He sort of said, I'd love the president of the committee to take us through the reasons why, you know, this new competition has come about. It's like, your own club was part of it. Ask your boss. Never mind anybody else's. Indeed. My word. Indeed. All right, then. Now it's time for a bit of Portmanteau Country.
I prefer to kill him.
Two footballers mashed together. You've got to figure out who the bloody hell I'm talking about.
By the way, what did Antonio Conte think of this? Because Inter were involved. And presumably he wasn't consulted. And that's a man you don't want to get in the wrong side.
Yeah. Although, like, merging two footballers together is surely the next step of, you know, some Super League plan. Like the Fly. Just definitely get them in and, like, yeah, see what comes out.
Yeah. Right. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
All right, okay.
Do we work together on this?
No. Right. But I mean, it feels like it.
We're both in it together.
We both have the same enemy.
I am the Dark Lord of Middle Earth and I am the Juventus president.
Dark Lord of Middle Earth. Do we not get the music?
Yeah.
If you want, yeah.
Andrea Agnelli's the second one.
Right. Dark Lord of Middle Earth.
I've never seen it.
Oh, yesterday it was 24. No, Gollum. Lord of the Rings.
Gollum, no, not Gollum's a small little troll fella.
Yeah. Frodo.
No, he's a good one. Sauron.
Sauron.
We do work together.
That was a little kind of aperitif for the main event. There was another one as well. Edward Ward Voldemort. I didn't know that Voldemort's first name, so it meant nothing to me as well. So that's okay.
What's Voldemort's first name?
Something word? Vod Voldemort? Oh, Lord. Yeah. Lord Voldemort. That's all. I mean,
we're having...
Nordic Vod Voldemort.
We're having a go at these ESL people being shambolic.
We can't bring anything better to the table. Okay. But here is the main event from Graham Bingham. Thank you very much, Graham, for this particular clue. I am an Aussie striker who scored 11 goals in 43 international appearances and I am a supposedly 44-year-old Olympic gold medalist. Aussie striker.
Olympic gold medalist, 44.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed.
Who?
I don't know.
He's supposed.
John Aloisi.
I was thinking Aloisi.
It was Mark Viducanu. You had it.
I can't believe he only scored 11 goals for Australia.
Yeah.
Considering like that he played in that era when
he was injured a lot of the time.
Yeah, but they would play like Samoa and stuff and beat him 40-0.
But I feel like he wouldn't play, would he? Because there was a stage where they wouldn't do the travel.
Yeah. Mark Viducanu.
All right, here's the next clue.
Oh, I got another one.
You get another one. You get
Thank
another chance to redeem yourself in the eyes of Sauron.
When is your chance to redeem yourself?
Never.
To be fair, it would have been Mark Viduka Nwankwakana, so it wouldn't have worked. Bingham. Really? It's Bingham's fault. I'm not having a go at you.
Yeah.
You just happened to read it out.
Yummy Bingham.
Like he was never known just as Kanu.
No, I always.
No, I always come up to him.
Oh, there goes Nwankwo.
Oh, there goes Fuashola Amiobi. Yeah, good. All right, Ben Thomas.
Come on, Benny. Don't let
Thank
us down
Thank you, Ben. Here. I played for the Holy Trinity of Real Madrid, Barcelona and Portsmouth. I was born in Larne and went on to play for Man United and became a Newcastle cult hero in the late 90s. You've got this one.
Robert Prozanetsky.
Robert Prozanets. Ketspire.
Born in Larne.
Where's Larne?
Ireland.
Ah, I don't know. Robert
Prozinecki Gillespie.
Oh, come on. Well, I did help you out there. Vish has got it. I reckon Vish has got Vish on both occasions managed to sort of get in there.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Sorry about that, everybody. Sorry.
I am the Super League.
Yeah. I enjoy, Marcus, how much you enjoy the competitiveness of that game because you are quite a competitive person. But when you fail, you don't enjoy it. It's like you're your own worst enemy.
You have no idea.
How high I could fly.
Indeed, yes. Well,
he's had a big proposal fall through in the last 48 hours. Hasn't he?
An enormous proposal.
He was the shadowy figure behind this whole thing. Yeah.
Very
all
shadowy.
The strings.
Very shadowy indeed. Gentlemen, there was a match last night. It ended Chelsea 0-0.
There generally was there.
Yeah, there was. It was always going to end 0-0. Although, Welbs nearly scored a beauty, didn't he?
I'm worried that all of these matches until the end of the season are going to end 0-0 because of this bollocks that we've had to sort of wade through for the past few days.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was funny, wasn't it, that Thomas Tuchel was a bit sort of tongue-tied at times, wasn't he, when he was sort of saying, did this affect you? What do you think? And he was a bit like, I don't know.
That's an interesting point, though. Do you think it's a product now of the fact that more managers I suppose we have more managers in football who weren't necessarily high level footballers,
yeah,
and who are so absorbed, they're nerds basically. Mm. They're so absorbed in the tactics of it that they don't really want to pay too much attention to what happens above their heads. Because I thought that with Guardiola, even though he was obviously a top level player, that his reaction to it, even though he knows who his employers are, was a bit like. It's like they don't understand football. And it's like, yeah, but you speak to these people.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
And I wondered about Tuchel with that in that regard, yeah.
A big point for Brighton, though.
It was. Jorginho played well.
In the relegation.
He was very gif-able last night.
He was, yeah. but no, it was a big point for Brighton, you know, because again, lest we forget, there is a Premier League going on right now. Teams are trying to get into the top four because apparently it means something now for certain teams.
It's Chelsea-West Ham the weekend. That's a big, big match.
Well, it is a big match and everyone will be probably supporting West Ham.
They will. If only their medical team could support them a little better because they're all injured.
Do you think this is it for Fulham? Because I wondered in the relegation battle, it helps when you've got two teams to try and claw after. Now it feels like it's just Burnley.
Well, if I'm honest with you, I was holding out for this Super League to happen because Fulham do have a billionaire American owner. I thought to myself, when that swimming pool's up on the thing, surely we'll be away. No, I think Fulham have. I think Fulham are all but down, and I've thought that for a number of weeks now, which is a shame because Newcastle, old St Maximin, has to put the burners on, and he's dragging them out
away a little bit, yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
He's a one-man creative industry.
A player of that quality.
I'd just like to jump in. Larne is in Northern Ireland. Goodbye. I said Ireland earlier.
Oh, I see.
Northern Ireland.
Yeah, yeah. It was in the island of Ireland.
It's in the island.
Yeah. There we are. Excellent. he still got it, though, didn't he?
He still got it. Didn't
that's
need
why
it.
Didn't I didn't get it.
I got it in protest.
You did. Gentlemen, there's reports that Barcelona have offered Sergio Aguero a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So presumably, was that before or after the plans got scuppered? Because presumably they thought we got a bit more money now. Oh yeah, sorry about that. We can't go ahead.
I quite like it. For two reasons. I think it'd be
it's
nice.
An underwhelming signing for Messi to get upset about.
three reasons. That's one of them. Second reason that I'd like to think that Aguero can still do it, and it'd be interesting to see how they work around him, because it feels like beyond Messi, or rather, you know, the example of the Messi goal on the weekend was a great example of how everything around Messi is starting to work a little bit better now. Mm-hmm. The third reason I like it is that I like the idea that because of Barcelona are in this financial strife that they have to sign geriatrics.
He's not that old though, is he?
No, I know, but you know, injuries have taken a bit out of him. I like the fact that they're going to have to become what people always assume the A-League and the MLS are. Mm-hmm. MLS.
Yeah, that's right.
There's apparently in the back of the next year's City shirt, there's going to be a tribute to his goal at QPR.
Oh.
Which is scored 93. In the back of the shirt, there's going to have the time that he scored the winning goal.
It's quite nice.
Bagged them to do it. It's a nice little tribute, I think.
No, I think
they should
so.
Do a lot more of that, I think.
I think they're going to do similar on the back of the Manchester United shirt. Well, it'll be Phil Jones's face looking up at the big screen when that goal goes in and they're stadium alight.
Poor Phil. Poor Phil. Tonight, gentlemen, Tottenham Hotspur. Those super Spurs are going to be playing Southampton, and Aston Villa are playing Manchester City. Spurs, obviously, looking for a new manager long-term. Ryan Mason's been given the job to the end of the season. 29-year-old Ryan Mason. Youngest manager in Premier League history, I think that would make him.
Too young.
Do you think? I think it is as well.
Yeah, I bet, would he have been born... No, he wouldn't have been born after the millennium, would he? I draw the line at any manager's
being
born.
He's not a 20-year-old manager.
I'm very... very stupid.
Okay, all right. Well, Brendan Rodgers has ruled himself out of the running. Tottenham is a fantastic club. It's a huge club, but my focus is here. I'm at a world-class training facility. The project we're in, we still want to develop and have a lot of work to do. And we haven't tarnished ourselves with that European Super League bollocks he may or not have added. Yeah, I think it'd be mad for Rodgers to leave. They're doing such good work at Leicester.
He seems to have everything he needs there.
And they're more likely to be in the Champions League.
Yeah. Like, the only reason I could see Spurs... convincing him to have a chat is by putting money on the table. But beyond that, like,
he's been burned before with stuff like that. Though,
yeah, 100%. Yeah, maybe that helps as well.
I think
he's had a taste of the biscuit.
Yes, rebuilding one's reputation, enjoying where one is in football, and having good resources and so on. Like, that's okay.
But you can't just say,
"Yeah, I'm all right here."
But do you not think because of what he's done with Leicester City that it's rebuilt? Do you not think that?
No, I do think his reputation is rebuilt.
Yeah. That's what I think as well. I think with all due respect to Celtic, that was part of the rebuilding, as was his first season or two at Leicester.
It was, because you go up to Celtic and it's a bit of a free hit. You know, Rangers weren't as good as they are, but I think even if they were, if he was still there now, I think it would be a real fierce title race there, unlike we've seen this year. So I think you're right, because when he left Liverpool, his reputation was slightly tarnished and so whereas now I think it's sky high. But those who
that's where the National Space Centre is, Marcus. Well, not
in Leicester.
Yeah,
there you are.
Sky high.
There you are.
And beyond.
And beyond, yeah, absolutely. But those, you know, rebuilding the reputation and maybe going to Celtic, it's interesting that Jose Mourinho is being linked to the job.
Yes. What was it that Rodgers said, that he was uniting both sides of Glasgow? I've massively done him a disservice there.
Yeah, there was something I remember. Yeah,
someone like he was in a traffic jam and a Rangers fan came up to me and I'm like, "Thank you for what you're bringing to the city." Something like that.
Imagine
what Mourinho is going to be like in that setting.
That would be quite funny.
Enjoyable.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Maurizio Sarri is being linked with the Spurs job, which is a lovely one.
Well, they've kept tabs on him. Cigarettes today.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. I gotcha. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there we are. On tomorrow's show, Jules, Andy and Luke are going to be in your ears. But thank you very much, Vitusha Nataraja.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Peter Donaldson.
Ta-ta.
Thank you very much, everybody. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, "I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit," and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.